Hello and welcome to another edition of the Moving Iron Podcast. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for almost 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Axon was started almost 100 years ago out of a passion for keeping agriculture moving. It's that same passion that drives them today. With a vision for a better experience for both farmer and dealer, they set out to create a better way to move more iron. When you partner with Axon, you get immediate access to a full range of products and solutions designed to meet the complex needs of today's grower. Axon carries all major brands and sizes of tires, wheels, and tracks. From custom colors and sizes to fully customized wheels, you can have the solution for virtually any problem today's farmer is trying to solve. To find more or become an Axon dealer, please visit axontire.com. Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Time and time again, through the years you'll find us here, Moving Iron. Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast number 214. This edition of the Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by Axon Tire, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. For more information, go to axontire.com. Now, Aaron, if you wanted to get a new set of tires, would you want to get a discount on those tires?
No.
No,
I would prefer to pay full bore list.
I'm the same way. I only pay full price on everything that I buy. I don't like to haggle. Just
no.
Just give me the price.
Right. Here's the price. Do you want it? Sure. Exactly. Okay. Great.
That's exactly how I like to go too. But for those of you that like discounts, if you go to axontire.com and you put in sprayer as the code word, you can get a 5% discount on Alliance 354 AgriFlex tires just for Moving Iron Podcast listeners for the month of May. So take full advantage of that.
Fantastic.
That is a big deal. So, or if you're talking to your local Axon rep and you want to get that same discount, just say you heard it on the Moving Iron Podcast, and they'll go ahead and give you that 5% discount on the Alliance 354 AgriFlex tires. So take full advantage of that, folks, especially with what you see now with price increases on steel and everything else.
Tires water. Are
affected by water. Everything.
Salt.
Everything is going up. So take full advantage of that 5% discount on Alliance 354 AgriFlex tires from our friends at Axon Tire. Or you could also go over to Iron Comps Tractor Zoom.
You could.
I'm sorry, I said that backwards. Tractor Comps Iron Zoom.
Iron Comps at Iron Tractor Comps Zoom.
Tractor Zoom. Yes, see, sooner or later I get it right. If you go over there and you do that...
We're just comping and zooming. Bear with us a minute.
If you go over and do that and you want to see what's going on in the auction marketplace, especially what's coming up in the auction marketplace, I guess AHW's got a pretty sizable auction coming through here, what, next week?
I believe so.
End of the month, something like that.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to watch to see how that happens. But if you want all that information and see how that's all going to shake out, go to Tractor Zoom, go over to Iron Comps, and if you like what you see there and all the information that you get from that, use Moving Iron at checkout, and you get yourself another discount. We're just a podcast full of discounts. That's all we are right now.
We are.
We're just throwing discounts out all over the place. So,
oh, absolutely.
Aaron Fennell's back here with me, and we've been talking a little bit back and forth about
what's, shocker,
about what's going on in the marketplace, and it's just hot, man. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it's just everything's, if you've got it, it's sold.
Basically,
yeah.
Basically,
tractor wise, I
mean, pretty much broad stroke.
Yeah.
Tractor, planter, sprayer, it's sold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it.
Now, the one thing about the auction marketplace, you know, I've talked about it on here a million times, that the auction market is very much a canary in the coal mine, right? So, whatever the auction market's doing, the retail marketplace is falling right along with that. And right now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you could probably get a better deal at your local dealer than you could on the auction.
Usually.
Yeah. I've watched so many auctions where that later model, lower houred stuff sells for more than we're even asking for it.
Right. Right.
So the auction market is following that trend quite well. There's nothing out there right now that's not going to bring top dollar, you know, everything is in such short supply that if you've got it and you want to do something with it, right now is the time to do it.
Absolutely. Without question.
All right. So One thing that we talk about on here, probably more than we should, is harvesting equipment, and especially combines. But combine marketplace is just, I think to me, it's one of those things, it's the most important line of equipment that you have to keep your eye on all the time, right? You can't let your guard down around combines, because if you do, it's going to come around and smack you in the face pretty hard.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
So you've got to stay on top of that. So here we are, planting season, it seems like, is like 6 weeks ahead of schedule. I mean, some guys are done, some guys are halfway through beans already, some guys are done with corn and beans, some guys are just getting started, depending on where you're at and those kind of things. But for the most part, it's depending on where you're at, you could be a week behind to 6 weeks ahead. So it's just, there's a million things going on right now. We're not that far away from starting to have those conversations of where does that fall buying start to play and start to look like. Aaron is a guy that spends a lot of time on the phone talking to customers all over North America. What kind of calls are you getting right now on choppers, combines, heads, you know, hay equipment, those kind of things?
Oh, it's that obviously we have way more combines than choppers, so there's more combine calls than chopper calls. Chopper guys, when they call, are typically let's roll, mm-hmm. you know. Of course, we are getting into it's go time for choppers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Combines, you know, we're starting to see, I know with some dealers, wholesalers, farmers, just as I thought this week might start shaking loose some of that, and it sure has.
Right.
There are a lot of the wheat sucks, but there are pockets where it's pretty good.
Right.
Buddy of mine in Oklahoma has got a lot of wheat, and he said for the most part, it all looks good. So, you know, guys are the combine thing is starting to fire up, which is great. Lord knows we have too many combines in the world. Do you know where this is just a funny thing that I point up that I thought of the other day, being the man who likes the old machinery and the way things used to be and whatnot.
Right.
Do you know why there's such a combine problem?
Enlighten me.
There are no more pull type combines.
That's
why. You take out your 9501s and your 1682s and your 861, I think it was, Massey, and you take out all those pull type combines that used to be north of here, okay, Dakotas, Montana, all over Canada. Granted, there was never a big seller. It's kind of a joke. But if you would look at it from that sense, they quit making pull types. That throws more self-propelleds in the market. Just go with it.
Okay, man.
For it's like 10 extra combines a year.
We'll let just we'll go let with that
it.
One
obviously, yeah. It's not a big yeah. number. They would yeah. still make the pull type, right?
Yeah.
But it is an increase in numbers due to that.
Well, that would be like saying there's more choppers because they have less pull-type choppers.
Right. Right. Which there is. There's more self-propelleds now out in the market than there was 20 years ago and way less pull-types.
Yeah.
Even though the people owning the choppers are way less and less. Same thing with the combines.
Right on. Sure. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah.
So in honor of that, look forward for your X9 PT coming soon to a 9RX near you.
Yeah, so there's that's a great segue into my next point.
There you go.
Just kidding. There's when you look at all the stuff we see tapping with harvesting equipment. I think this year will be a year that we see a lot of used equipment get cleaned up, right?
Right.
And across the board, combines, tractors, you name it, whatever we've had for a while is going to get bought. You know,
there is a lot of stuff selling and not very many trades.
Not very many trades at all.
Which
kind of shows you, like here before, probably next podcast, we'll give the numbers for the month of what the difference is between, you know, April, all of April into May 1st, what that looks like. But if you remember last time, you know, I think there was 700 plus combines that were off the market. So that means that we outpaced the number of tradings coming in by 700, So, and 600 of those were all in March. So,
right,
that tells you that I don't look to see that April is going to have a big jump because we're kind of in the middle of planting season.
April is one of them months that no matter where you are in America, you're busy.
Yeah, you're busy. There's a lot of things going on.
Or in North America, excuse me. Whether you are on the edge of the Arctic Circle and you can almost see grass, or you are at the Panama Canal, April's busy.
April's busy. A lot of stuff going on in April.
May, you get a lot more sorting out, you know. Yes. By the time May, you get to the middle of May, you got pretty much I-80 South done planting, fair to say.
Fair to say, yeah.
So you got a lot of guys done.
Right.
Then it shift gears fall. Yep. Summer harvest and fall harvest.
So that June, July, August time frame typically always are fairly busy with that going on. So that kind of brings to my next point. So I wrote a blog here. Blog post, Farm Equipment Magazine, that should be coming out. I'll have it out here sooner than, hopefully this weekend I'll have it posted so everyone can read it. But I kind of focused on what I like to call the ag ecosystem and why it's important, right? And what that looks like and where it works. So, I mean, if you want to go back and take a look at where we were in 2006, 2007, 2008, we were going through a slow ramp up in commodity prices. 2006, there was a pretty big drop off in commodity prices, and then they started to kind of rise from there, like mid. Well, basically this time 2006,
right,
March, April, May time frame, there was a big drop off from like it was like $5 dropped down to like $3.25, $3.50, something like that, all within a month and a half period, and then from there it kind of took off and ran up to the $8 mark we saw in 2012. Now, if you sit back and you think about where we're at, the ecosystem of farm equipment is as delicate as any other ecosystem is on Earth, right? I mean, so
like a true ecosystem?
Like a true ecosystem, right? So it's just if you mess up something somewhere along that way, whether it's be the front, the middle, or the end, if you do something that you shouldn't do in those time frames, you will have problems that exist. So, for example, in 2012, 2013, the front side of that ecosystem, the front first couple trades, that's all you really saw, right? Because everybody had a bunch of money. They were jumping. You know, the 50 series guy was jumping and buying a brand new 70. He wasn't even buying the used 70.
Right.
He was buying the brand new 70, right? So, I mean, it was like three jumps, 60, 70, and then the new, right? So they were doing that. Then you saw. So what happened was, and most of the time, the guy at the 50 series combine wasn't necessarily even trading in his combine. He was selling it on his own, or he was doing whatever, you know. So the dealership lots got filled up with these one-year-old trades and those kind of things. So we saw this huge kind of glut grow of stuff, and there wasn't enough buyers. There are plenty of buyers to buy combines. They just weren't buying used ones.
Right.
So where on that front thing do you... So that's one thing to think about on that front side, that first-generation trade is... Do you have that price different enough that a guy that... Because whoever's buying a first-generation trade-in, that low-model, low-hours piece of equipment, probably could also buy a new one.
Right.
Right? It might be a stretch for them, but theoretically, you know...
They could digest it if need be.
If need be, right. And when you've got $7 corn, you can digest it.
You
can. You can make it work.
You can digest a lot of things.
So,
like a pool.
Exactly.
or a new shop and a house addition and several vacations.
Yeah. So you can digest all that stuff. Now, when you're looking at that first, second generation trade and selling new, we've got to sell new equipment. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there right now. New equipment sales have to happen because those generate parts and service business 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years down the road. I mean, that's where you're getting all that parts and service business from. So,
and used equipment specific jobs.
Yes, exactly. Another exactly good point. So, you have to generate new equipment. If you don't not sell new equipment, you will have a whole another issue that comes up. But the idea being that you've got to have that first generation trade in priced back far enough that the guy that wants to buy that first generation trade in doesn't buy the new one, right? But at the same time, there's a balance there that you don't price it so far away from the new one, and the trade difference is so high that now you can't get anyone to buy a new one because your trade difference is out of whack, right? So there's a fine line that you have to walk there, right? One we walk all the time in this business, right? Now, what we saw in 2014, 2015, 2016 wasn't that the front end of the washout cycle was loaded up. It was the middle section that was loaded up, right? So we didn't have enough new getting sold to generate the late model, low hour trade-ins to get the guy to come in and trade his whatever it was off to get the new one, because even if you did trade it off, it didn't really matter because you already had a big pile of them anyway.
Right.
Right? So now there weren't enough buyers at the very end of the ecosystem, or washout cycle, to come in and buy those ones in the middle to keep the clog from getting out of whack. Right?
Yep.
Okay. So now that you've got that kind of established, what the next best thing when that happens is you've got to go to auction. Right? And when you go to auction, no matter how good auctions start, they always end shitty, right?
Right.
So once you've kind of developed that kind of model and what that looks like, there will, in order to move things down the line, you've got to clear out some of the clogs so that you get things moving. Another thing that we saw in 2014, 2015, 2016 is that last buyer, you know, that fifth and sixth trade guy, right, mm-hmm. that's coming in with the 9600 or the 9550 or 9760 or whatever it is they've got, and they're looking at buying that S-Series combine or whatever it is that they're doing, they weren't coming to the table either, because typically that buyer down at the very end of the cycle is a guy that only buys out of necessity, right? They finally hit a point where they just can't fix it anymore.
We have to do this.
They've done it. You know, they've had the same combine for 15 years. They've had the same tractor since it was new in 1978. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, they've had that point there where they've got to a point where they've got to do something with it. So the good thing about that buyer, too, though, is that they're always there, right? Everybody kind of participates in the last two trade cycles, right?
Right.
Even the guy that buys the only new, every once in a while, I'll come down and buy 8300.
Right.
Because, like, I mean, it's cheap and it's got 5,000 hours on it.
And, you know, an auger tractor.
You know, something like that. You know, it's one of those things where they don't intend to do anything really strenuous with it, but they go out and put it out there.
We need an old junk. We need an old junk 8120 to put on the auger. Right. Like, okay.
So even that point. So then you got the guy that's in the middle, and even the guy in the middle, that's probably where they're going to play out when it comes to tractors anyway.
Right.
Is that kind of towards the tail end of the washout cycle. They're going to be buying their combines in the middle of the washout cycle, that third, fourth level kind of trade-in type of thing, you know, that probably 10-plus-year-old combine, that's where they're going to go play at, right? But they're going to buy a 15- or 20-year-old tractor. I mean, that's not...
Yeah, common, right.
See that happen. So there's that thing there. So as you sit back and you look at what's going on is... The steps that you take to go through the washout cycle absolutely have to marry up with each other in a very systematic fashion.
Oh, absolutely, or it's all out of whack like it was.
So now the good thing
is
the best thing that could have happened right now to the ag equipment business is the shortage that we're having right now.
Absolutely.
We cleared out everything that we had to clear out as far as aged equipment goes, filling those things up. So now we do have that opportunity to go back in and reload the washout cycle with late model, low-hour equipment that, quite frankly, I think will have a solid 3-year run before we have any kind of real drawback on that. So if you look at that 2025...
What you mean by drawback is like a quote-unquote problem?
Yeah, like a 2014.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So... You start looking like 2025 and those kind of things, and what does that look like, and how does things shape out, and all those things look. I mean, that's kind of when I would start to think that you would start to see. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball that's worth a shit, because if I did, I'd be a billionaire right now. But when I look at 2025, I think to me, that's when I would say that we would start to see something of some level of magnitude start to take place, right? That's when too many of XYZs are piling up on the yard, or there's more. We don't have the four-wheel drive customer base anymore that we had, you know, this time last year. Or
right.
Combines or choppers or whatever it is. There's going to be something there that's going to start kind of being that leading indicator. And I'm going to tell you right now, the easiest way to track that and to know where that's going is the canary in the coal mine, that is the auction market.
Right? Absolutely.
You have to pay attention to what's going on in the auction market. That will tell you 1,000% what's happening in any level of the washout cycle. If you're seeing a bunch of late model, low hour machines go through an auction, and you have the same things that are starting to kind of pile up there, you're going to start seeing a problem happen. And that's when you start seeing that, you know, it takes 3 data points to make a trend, right?
Right.
So you start seeing something happen in January, February, and then March it happens again. The exact same thing happens. Now you got a trend line developing. As a used equipment manager, you have to step back and take a look at that. It's like, is this a real thing that's happening, or is this a fluke? What does the overall environment look like? How many pieces of equipment do we have on the ground? What does the national inventory look like? What do upcoming auctions look like? How many of these machines are in the queue to be sold? All of these things start playing into the fact of that. So this is where the discipline to make the right decisions start to come into play about the long-term effects of what we see happening. You know, the 2012, 13, 14, 15 kind of 180 that we did there was the metering of equipment, right?
Right.
Right. The better that we handle the up, you know, like the old saying, every green analyst says, you know, we take an escalator up and an elevator down.
Right? Yep.
And it's the same thing. So if we, again, go out and sell all the new equipment you can sell, as long as it makes sense. That when you start poaching your first and second buyers to be new buyers, that's when you start to see a problem happen.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's it's not even. I mean, of course, the guy's going to come in and says, "I want to buy a new combine." Great, we're going to sell you a new combine, even though you are traditionally a first or second trade buyer, right? I'm not going to stop you from doing that. I'm not going to be like, "Well, no, I can't do it because you're traditionally a used buyer, so we're going to keep you that way." It right. doesn't work that way. But the same idea, the same concept of those things are going to stay in place. The biggest thing that we saw in 2012 why it made sense to buy new was Section 179.
Right.
You couldn't get the same tax benefit on a used piece that you could on a new piece.
Right.
So exactly. After all right. everything shook out, the tax benefits and everything else that happened, you know, now it may be like, why would I buy a used one?
Right.
I hear you. Why would you? Now you have that across the board. That Section 179 counts on you and use both. So we'll see what happens with Biden's administration, what the tax situation is going to look like, and what they will or won't do when it comes to ag-based tax stuff like that, and how that affects, the grower and their tax situation. But that was the big driver behind that.
Right.
So yeah. buying new, you know. And right now, it's pretty much an even playing field. So I would, if everything just stays the same, I would look to see just these 1 year typical first trade buyers to still be the first trade buyer.
Yeah.
Unless they just, you know, say I'm willing to spend a little extra now, I'm gonna try to get into a different scenario with whatever.
The biggest benefit we have this time around is whether it's us, whether it's co-op, whether it's the farmer, we all lived it, and it's pretty fresh.
Right.
They saw the neighbor go, new grain system, new house, new line of machinery, farm sale 2015.
Right.
There was a shitload of that.
Right.
Guys saw that. The guy who went from 50 to 70 series new, he's not doing that again.
No.
He is going to get his 18780 or his 17680.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
They've seen it. They lost the neighbor. They lost, you know, right. the cousin, whatever. There was a lot of hardships after the collapse.
Right.
Lots and yep. lots and lots. And that was before the year that 19 was and all that right. shit, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
That just compiled onto it. That once 19 hit, it was, dear God, pray for the farmers,
right.
you know?
Right.
Up to that point, it was like, man, those guys have it tough. So anyway, guy, that from the farmer standpoint is going to be a huge benefit to us in the dealer world. Not all of them. There's still going to be guys going, finally.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
this whole farm of 2013 machinery is leaving.
Right.
And we're getting 2021 machinery or 22. But since those guys have seen it, they've lived it, they've experienced it, everybody is way more cautious, more careful. And they might be the 3,000-hour tractor guy and went to 5 to 1,000.
Right, yep.
But that's not that big a deal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
He's not really, he's jumping, instead of 5 to 3, he's going 5 to 1.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The bigger, like you were saying, where it really hits everybody hard, and we had this in tractors, we had... There can still be any given month you can have 11s and 12s pile up on you.
Oh, sure.
Even tractors.
Yeah. Sure, yep.
And we've seen it. You can have a six-month period where you cannot give away an 11 360R.
Right.
Then you have a year, last year to current day, where that is the best thing you can own.
Right. Yep.
When you couldn't give it away... You couldn't keep 14s on hand. Everybody, right. I got to have that one, got to have that one.
Yep.
Oh, okay. You know, they changed out one connector in 13 and made it a way better tractor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think when you look at it, there's a lot of... The easiest thing to do and easiest thing to think about is when you're talking with... I guess the way I look at it is when you're talking with a producer, have the same conversation with them that you're having now.
Right.
And if it ventures over to one way or the other, then let it go that way.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, don't...
Don't force your guy to buy new. Don't force him to sell used. Right. Let him make the choice. Yeah. Odds are he's going to make the choice best for him.
Right.
And best for us.
Right. Yeah. That's all.
99 out of 100 times, what's best for him is best for us.
Right. Exactly right. That's exactly 1,000% right. So I think I guess when I'm looking at this is the conversations I want to have with growers when I'm talking to them about what's your plan, how's technology going to fit into that, what machinery are you going to use, are you picking up some extra land, what are you doing, are you going to go from a 16-year-old planter to a 24-year-old planter, are you going to maybe gonna jump to a DB and you're going to get like a 54-row whatever and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, what does that look like and why are you doing that? What's your thought process behind that so I can help understand how I can best guide you down that path?
Right, because maybe you don't need a DB90.
Right.
Maybe you need a 1775 Exactmerge.
Right.
And you'll get more done, be easier to transport.
Right.
Yep. Better resale.
Right. Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
More guys can hook up to that 24-row Exactmerge when it's used than that DB90.
Oh, yeah.
And the first thing anybody says when they call on a DB90 is, how damn many acres are on it?
Right. Yeah, if you start breaking that down by row, that's acres add up pretty quick.
Right.
When we start looking at it like that. But I think, I guess the point I'm making here when it comes to this is that be absolutely as diligent as you can when you're looking at how these things are going to start playing in there. And the good thing about this time that we're in right now, that farm to farm to farm to farm with your trade-ins is pretty easily accomplished right now.
Correct.
Sell a new one to this guy, take his used piece out, this guy, take his used piece out, this guy, and by the time you get back to the store, you're halfway through the washout cycle.
Right.
And that's a great place to be. Because now you're at a point where, okay, cool, so now we've got this 10-year-old combine or this 12-year-old tractor or whatever it is that you got, and now your international markets start coming into play. That's when you start looking at that machinery, you're starting to go someplace else. And that's when you start really making that thing churn. But if you're stopping after you sell a new one and you're not going out and prospecting the first and second trade-in, you're going to have a hard time
making it work.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like making all the glue stick.
Yep.
You know, it's hard enough to do it even when you make things work like it is, because there's always one thing in that link there that didn't get through the shop fast enough, or, you know, there just didn't come in when it was supposed to. I mean, there's a million things that can go along with that that already makes it tough anyhow to make.
All of which you're describing is every freaking day in 2021.
Exactly right.
God bless. That's exactly right. Where is this in the shop? Where's that? Not here yet. Where's this?
Yeah. There's a million things going on there. So,
where's my new tractor? Well, there's a 35-cent piece of conduit that they can't get.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's held up the entire line.
That's exactly right. So I think just be conscious of what it is that you're doing out there when you're talking to those customers about what their next step is going to be in their, right. their purchasing.
Not purchasing this journey. Purchase. What are you doing 5 years from now?
Exactly. What's that look like? Exactly right.
You might be 1,500 acres by yourself because your son is a senior in college, and mm-hmm. he might come home. He might move to Omaha, mm-hmm. do whatever. So right now, that 12-row stacker works great.
Yeah.
He might call you the end of next month and be like, mm-hmm. if we can expand, I'd really like to come home.
Yeah.
Well, don't buy a 12-row.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right there.
Yep. Yep.
You got, even if that planter is going to be gone in 5 years, that combine, that tractor, whatever,
yep.
buy today for what happens then.
Right, exactly.
And most guys do that. I mean,
yeah, like, that's pretty common practice.
Once in a while, you get a call from a guy that's like, hey, we ordered this planter in November and we have not even put it in the dirt, but it's 16 row, and the neighbor came over last week and rented us all his ground, so now I need 224s. Right. You know, yeah, I have had conversations with guys like that, but like, you know, today I was a 1,500 acre and 8 to 8 kind of guy, and now we're 2,500 acres, and it's 6 to 10.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Well, great stuff as usual, Aaron.
Glad I could help.
I'd ask you for a deal of the day, but...
We all know I did not prepare enough.
Well, that, and you just need to call to see what the available deals are.
Yeah. Do you have any machinery? Yes. We have a used STX 38 over by the loading dock. I bet I could get the guy to trade out of it.
Right on. If people want to get a hold of you, check on those deals today, how would they do that?
Call me or text me, 308-760-1193. Also on Twitter, almost daily, at Aaron Fintel. Fintel is with an F, as in Frank. And those are by far the best two ways to get a hold of me, friend.
Don't be confused. It's an F and not a PH, so... You'll be,
ooh, that would be cool.
That'd be, yeah. Yeah. So, also, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's where I will be posting the Moving Iron podcast when it comes out, as well as any blog posts I have as well. That's at Moving Iron LLC on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Go to movingironllc.com for the latest information about the upcoming Moving Iron Summit. That will be in Nashville, Tennessee, September 15th through the 17th. Go up on the navigation tab, click on the Moving Iron Summit tab, and you'll get all the information there you need. Agendas, speakers, hotel information, anything and everything you could possibly think of. So, also, if you want to get that sweet 5% discount on the Alliance 354 Agriflex tires from Axon Tire, make sure you go to their website at axontire.com and use code word SPRAYER, or when you're talking to your rep, just go ahead and toss out there that you saw it on the Moving Iron podcast. So this is only for Moving Iron podcast listeners, so feel special, folks.
Exclusive offer.
Exclusive offer, so check that out.
No, you don't have to sign up for a timeshare or nothing.
Nothing,
you just get 5% off sprayer tires.
Yep, you don't have to wear like
good sprayer tires.
Like a flowered shirt or anything.
No.
You can just go get it. You
know what I mean? Just show up.
That's great. So you're going to enjoy that.
I want 4 tires, less 5%.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Exactly. So you get like 1.25% off each tire.
There you go.
That's one way to look at it.
That is.
Yeah, so that'd be one way to do it. Or just 5% off of 4 at the same time.
Casey also apologizes for including math in the podcast. He can't help it sometimes.
also check out Tractor Zooms Iron Comps, and you'll get a sweet discount there on checkout as well, and that's using the code word Moving Iron. So with that, I am Casey Seymour. Aaron, anything else you want to put out there?
I don't, Dr. Seymour.
All right, right on. And as you can tell, that's Aaron Fennell. So until next time, I'm Casey Seymour. Let's go move some iron, folks. Out.
You want to have a meaningful, competitive advantage to help sell more equipment. Whether you represent the sales, parts, or management department of an implement dealership, there's a surprising amount of complexity when it comes to tire, wheel, and track technology. Let Axon worry about that so you can get back to supporting your customers. Axon has leveraged years of experience to create a streamlined process that gives you a proven path to help today's grower and sell more equipment. The roots of their organization go back almost 100 years to the invention of the rubber tractor tire. Supporting agriculture is the number one driver of Axon from product development through sales and service. To find more or become an Axon dealer, head over to axontire.com.
Moving higher in the 21st century. Hardware.